yesterday's attacks on another.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Libya is in a state of chaos. There is constant fighting among various factions and clans for control of key oil terminals and territory. A full-blown civil war could break out any time in the oil-rich North African country. Over 7 years after Libya's former ruler Muammar Gaddafi was ousted in a NATO air campaign, two rival governments, one in Tripoli and the other in Tobruk, are still vying for power, not capable of restoring security to areas under their control. And the power vacuum has allowed extremist groups like ISIL to find a foothold there. Libya is being widely described as a failed state, with the situation blamed by many on the 2011 Western intervention and lack of a clear plan for the post-Gaddafi era. The former Libyan ruler was once one of the West's favorites in the region because he offered lucrative oil contracts to major US and European oil firms. The same Western countries that were involved in the military operation against Gaddafi's regime had long closed their eyes to rights violations under him. Some say the 2011 NATO air campaign was triggered by a thirst for a greater share of Libya's oil.
What was behind the intervention in Libya was the imperialist designs by the United States against this oil-rich and mineral-rich North African state. It was designed to exercise the might of the United States Africa Command, AFRICOM. It was the first major operation of AFRICOM. So they wanted to take Libya's oil and natural gas. They wanted to set up a military beachhead in North Africa on the Mediterranean coast.
In the final year of his rule, Gaddafi faced protests that soon escalated into an armed rebellion. Some reports strongly suggest the rebels fighting to topple Gaddafi had ties with America's Central Intelligence Agency. Forces loyal to the former ruler clashed with those seeking the ouster of the regime. The conflict paved the way for the Western military alliance to get involved. The 2011 NATO operation was ostensibly aimed at enforcing UN Security Council Resolution 1973. The resolution called for a no-fly zone and protection of civilians. The United States was on the forefront of the campaign.
The task that I assigned our forces to protect the Libyan people from immediate danger and to establish a no-fly zone carries with it a UN mandate and international support. But broadening our military mission to include regime change would be a mistake.
The NATO campaign, however, soon went far beyond the mandate of the UN Security Council. Western warplanes soon turned into an air force trying to assassinate Gaddafi. The jets, mostly from the US, France, and Britain, began pounding suspected Gaddafi hideouts and important government positions. Many believed the West had regime change in mind from the very beginning, without any clear plan for Libya's future or how to fill the security vacuum. Even former US President Barack Obama admitted that the military campaign in Libya had devastating consequences and that America failed to pave the way for peace. Obama says the US and its allies had failed to come up with a plan for the post-Gaddafi era. This is what the former US president said when he was asked what he thought was the biggest mistake of his presidency.
Probably failing to plan for the day after what I think was the right thing to do in intervening in Libya.
That big mistake has created havoc in the African country. The story of Libya today is endless insecurity and economic woes, and divisions of all types are widening there. Observers have warned about presidential and parliamentary elections planned to be held there this year. They say the votes are more likely to incite conflict than to unify the nation, mainly because Libya still lacks a constitution. But that's not all. Violent extremist groups have made life even more unbearable for Libyans. Terrorist groups like Daesh and Al-Qaeda are using the African country as one of their main bases, now that they have suffered defeats in parts of the Middle East. The terror groups have stepped up attacks nationwide. Over the past 2 years, the United States has carried out strikes against ISIL targets in Libya and tries to brand the raids as an effort to help Libyan authorities fight terrorism. Observers believe that's ironic, because the rise in extremism in Libya is the direct result of the U.S.-led intervention in 2011.
The bombing of Libya, which Hillary Clinton was strongly in favor of, one of the leaders of, smashed up Libya, destroyed a functioning society. The bombing sharply escalated the level of atrocities by a large factor, devastated the country, left it in the hands of warring militias, opened a door for ISIS to establish a base, spread jihadis and heavy weapons all through Africa, in fact into the Middle East. Last year, according to UN statistics, the worst terror in the world was in West Africa, Boko Haram and others, to a considerable extent an offshoot of the bombing of Libya. That's what happens when you hit vulnerable systems with a sledgehammer.
Towards the end of Gaddafi's rule, Libya was one of Africa's wealthiest nations, with the highest GDP per capita on the continent. Medical treatment and education were free for all Libyans, and there was a system in place that many scholars agree was functioning.
The country had some 2 million guest workers from other parts of Africa and the world. And of course, this was all reversed with the intervention beginning in February of 2011, and then, of course, the bombing campaign that began on March 19th of 2011, which lasted for some 7.5 months. It destroyed the country. 50 to 100,000 people were killed, and, of course, over 1 million people were displaced.
The status of human rights under the former ruler was poor. But it was not even comparable to the mess Libyans have to put up with every day now. What happened in Libya is reminiscent of Western adventurism in other parts of the world, where functioning societies are turned into failed states that take decades to get back on their feet. America's wars around the world have proved to be detrimental to global security. Yet the United States is either failing to learn a lesson or refusing to change course because of its own interests. From Iraq and Afghanistan to Libya, people are left with the grave consequences of America's militarism and interventionism.
Why do we get involved? We're doing all these wonderful things. How many times now, and this is an additional example, have we gone into a country with the so-called good intentions, which ought to be questions, you know, whether it's Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, or even Egypt. We go in and we say we're going to do good things. Generally speaking, the winners have been our enemies. You know, it opens the door to, you know, whether it's the Taliban in Afghanistan, whether it's Al-Qaeda in another country, and whether it's ISIS in another country. It just goes on and on.
Civilians in those countries are the ones that mainly bear the brunt of wars. Ironically, the U.S. keeps branding itself as the biggest player in the battle against terrorism. U.S. foreign policy critics reject that notion, arguing that America has fueled the flames of extremism and terror through its wars.